This episode of the Fresh Start Family Show is brought to you by our Quick Start Learning Bundle, how to build a compassionate, firm, and kind discipline toolkit that works with kids of all ages. Head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline to grab your Quick Start Bundle so you can get going today on building up a strong, compassionate discipline toolkit in your home.
Well, hey there, I'm Stella. Welcome to my mom and dad's podcast, The Fresh Start Family Show. We're so happy you're here. We're inspired by the ocean, Jesus, and rock and roll, and believe deeply in the true power of love and kindness. Together, we hope to inspire you to expand your heart, learn new tools, and strengthen your family. Enjoy the show!
Hey there, families. Welcome to today's episode. Terry and I are so excited to be sitting next to Tracy Arlington of Play It Safe Defense. We have such a good episode for you guys today. We are going to talk about bully victim paradigm shifting and how to really empower our kids to deal with this very common problem in today's day and age. So we're going to cover 5 points for you today, parents. How we as parents can teach and instill confidence in our kids and teach them how to set boundaries. Number two, we're gonna talk about how role-playing is critical. We talk about this so much at Fresh Start Family. We're gonna talk about how sassiness only escalates a confrontation. Number four, we'll look at the victim mentality that really keeps us in a victim role. And lastly, number five, we're gonna talk about how powerful kind words are. So Tracy, we're so grateful to have you here.
I'm excited.
Good morning.
It's good.
Yeah, it's so cool because we were saying how God has just orchestrated this. Come to find out. So back up a little bit. We met Tracy when Tracy's been teaching self-defense in the San Diego area for 16 years, and I'm gonna have you introduce yourself here in a second, but we had our kids go to one of your classes, and I remember just meeting you and being like, oh, I love you.
It left an impact on us for sure.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, thank you.
And then to come to find out that we go to the same church. We have a big church here in San Diego, wow. So we have 5 different campuses, and we're up north, and you're down south, but it's just so cool, and we're just so grateful that you're here, and you know, I feel like there's this excitement because we could just talk for hours and hours, but...
We could.
Yeah. But go ahead, and let's kick this off with just really, please introduce yourself, tell us about your company, what you do, and how you got to be a teacher of this work, and also your radical skills.
Oh, it truly was a God thing because growing up, what I had to deal with the most was bullying. I was bullied for various reasons. One, my religion. And I was in a religion where, you know, we couldn't celebrate holidays. So can you imagine? I'm the kid that got yanked out of class for every class party or birthdays. We couldn't salute the flag. I mean, it was tough. And so I learned at a young age that really the best way to deal with bullying was to be funny, or have people like you, you know, which is a lot to put on a kid.
Yeah.
Because you're constantly tap dancing for people. Mm. So fast forward, we got out of that religion when I was a senior in high school. And now I'm a Christian and so fired up because one thing I've learned through my faith is that really there's some basic principles, you know, in the Bible that you can apply to your life. Like my favorite one, a gentle answer turns away angry people.
Yeah.
So instead of getting back in someone's face over something, it's just kind of learning how to de-escalate. So I had a strong-willed son, 3.5 years old, and we were pulling our hair out. He was going to school, Power Ranger dude. That nanny, I'm going to call out the nanny, but she was letting him watch Power Rangers while I was at work.
Yeah.
So he'd go to school and he was like, I'm the Green Ranger. And then he'd karate chop everybody. So my husband would said, you know what? We're going to put him in the martial arts. I'm like, oh no, we're not.
Right.
What? We're just going to teach him to fight. No, I'm telling you, parents, martial arts is baby boot camp because what they do is it's all about character development. It's so he learned early on, you know, sensei says, you know, we use our martial arts only if we're in a dangerous situation. And, but really it was the whole confidence building thing. So a lot of what I've learned really was through going through the martial arts program myself. So long story short, after 9/11, I lost my job. I was a flight attendant. Actually, I didn't really lose it. I quit because it had, the whole industry was horrible. I have a degree, no job. And then my sensei came to me and said, you know, we need to be teaching kids in the community that don't want to be in karate, but still need to learn how to protect themselves. And so I developed this course, and I have to tell you, guess where I learned most of my material from? Kids.
Awesome.
Kids, yes. Told me. Wow. See, we designed this course on how to protect yourself against a bully. And then the second half of the class, as you know, is what to do if your stranger tries to take you and how to fight out of that. Go Chihuahua crazy.
Yes, our, you're like famous for.
Yep, that's what our branding is. And then we also talk about sexual assault prevention because 90% of the time you know this person. Well, getting back to the bullying, so we go in and our God thing, immediately the Girl Scouts found us. They were looking for a self-defense instructor.
Yeah.
So we'd go in and we'd teach the girls, hey, you know, this is what you do. Back off. Leave me alone. And they were like, no, Mrs. A, that's not what's happening at our school. What's happening at our school is people are saying mean things. They're excluding me. They're gossiping about me. Or this is the number one email I get. I have a friend that one day she's nice to me, the next day she's not. He wants me to be in his game one day, and the next day I'm not good enough to be in his game. So it's the yo-yo friends. Mm. Right. And that's how the course was developed, is learning how to de-escalate, learning how to be confident and stand up for yourself in a respectful way so that it doesn't escalate and you get labeled.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So nowadays you mostly are in-person classes, right? And so it sounds like it's kind of threefold. You teach self-defense, stranger danger, and then self-defense as far as sexual abuse, which is so important.
So important. So,
I mean, gosh, Terry and I have been in course rooms with so many people where we're like, gosh, it seems like it's, I mean, what is the statistic? Is it like
90% of the time, you know, the person, 1 in 3 girls, 1 in 6 boys before the age of 18.
That statistic is nuts.
Blows your mind. Yeah.
And it wasn't until we sat in course rooms with people doing coursework where we really get authentic and vulnerable with one another to like kind of move through some limiting beliefs and stuff that we saw that the world is so full of this stuff, but nobody talks about it.
No.
So I love that. And then the third thing is the self-defense verbally against kind of the bully victim.
Right. We call situation. It verbal karate. So someone punches you with a mean comment, you block with kindness.
Oh, I love that. Mm. Which I just get so fired up too because, there's such, like, I think the world and culture will teach you that you have to, like, smack back, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and of course, I love that you're black belt, right?
Yeah.
So it's so cool to hear from you, and we are so on the same page here at Fresh Start Family that, like, the power of kindness, peace, love, like, it is way more powerful than any type of fear and force, even though you can kick someone's butt.
Right.
Like, you can kick someone's butt at any time with your physical force. But
you know, Bruce Lee was the one that said, the greatest martial artist is one who can stop a fight before it starts.
So, awesome. You know,
that's amazing because I think so many people gloss over that. I think especially probably the dads too. They're like, yeah, we're going to teach our kids how to kick ass. And it's all about the fight, the like the conflict and like what's going to happen there. And I think people take their eyes off of what are we all reaching for anyways? And that's the peace.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you can sidestep the fight to get to the peace,
right?
It sounds like you just have nailed it with all of these ways to do that. And in addition to it, if we're gonna scrap, like I'm gonna protect myself,
right? And that's always a last resort with bullies. Right. But if someone is sitting on my kid's stomach, pounding his head into the cement, he's gonna have to fight back in self defense.
Yeah, right?
Make sure it doesn't happen again the next time,
right?
Because
exactly.
Like, if it doesn't go great the first time, it's less likely to probably happen a second time.
Exactly,
It's such a beautiful trifecta you represent at Play It Safe because we actually have had a few, and I know you know this, but we've had a few situations here in San Diego where kids almost got stolen. Like one story right here in, not stolen, but abducted. Just like in our hometown here, our little beach town in Leucadia, It was like a 16-year-old. She was waxing her
surfboard. I met her.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
And she kicked their ass.
She did. And guess where she told me she learned it from?
Where?
Her brothers.
Awesome. Yeah.
She had older brothers, and she wrestled around with them, and she said that it was just natural for her to react that quickly.
Oh, it gives me chills because it's part of the equation. We need to teach our kids how to protect themselves, and a lot of it is like, yes, you always seek peace and kindness and peaceful conflict negotiation. And if you're put in a situation, go Chihuahua crazy.
Yes.
I love that about your company.
Don't make me go Chihuahua.
Chihuahuas are such funny animals.
I love them.
I know.
I don't own one.
You need to have one.
I know. My husband says no.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I tell you why. Because our dog, she would hate that Chihuahua.
Yeah. All right. So, gosh, I like, you know, just we could talk about so much, but today we have decided to talk about these 5 points regarding the verbal karate, the bully victim mindset, how to approach the situation. Because, Tracy, you've shared with us how out of all, like, you do so many classes. I mean, you worked with thousands and thousands of kids and their families. And what you're telling us is these days, this is what's the biggest challenge on families' hearts and kids' hearts that are actually sharing with you. How do I deal with this? So let's kick it off with number one is, your number one point is how parents can teach and instill confidence in their kids and teach them how to set boundaries. Talk to us about that.
Right, right. So I think that some kids are just born confident. Right? Yep. You and I both have children that were born that way.
Yep.
And then there are other children. I had a little girl in our class yesterday, a Girl Scout, that this was her third year with me. And the first 2 years, she wouldn't barely speak.
Yeah.
So for her to say, hey, back off, leave me alone.
Right.
Like would make her shake. Yeah. Yesterday, Chihuahua.
Yay!
I went home and told my husband about her and I was crying because I was so happy.
That's awesome.
So confidence is something that can be learned and it can be demonstrated, but it has to come from the parent. So if they have a parent that stands with their hands in front of their body, you know, shoulders down, and doesn't make good eye contact or is kind of quiet or just doesn't look like I don't want to say aggressive, but assertive, you know, in a respectful way, they're going to probably emulate that behavior. But I do have parents tell me, no, I'm pretty confident. Yeah. This is just the way God made her or him. Right. So then you switch to, okay, how can I build confidence?
Beautiful. Yeah.
Exactly. So a lot of it is positive parenting. Mm-hmm. And like you said, is encouraging them versus praising them and having that conversation with them about what confidence looks like. I like to have kids point out to me, show me someone who looks confident, show me someone who doesn't look confident so that the child can teach the parent best way to learn. And also show me someone who you think maybe looks a little sassy, because sassiness attracts more sassiness, attitude attracts attitude. So that is huge, because once they're confident enough to speak up for themselves, that's when they're going to start setting the boundaries. And like you said, and this is probably what we're the most known for, is you have to role play it.
Yes.
So that little girl yesterday, I could tell that her parents had worked with her. I could tell that she was watching the other girls, and that on year 3 of taking this class, she was finally able to find her voice.
That is so beautiful. Yeah.
It takes practice.
Practice.
You know, yeah, it takes practice,
practice.
And modeling and, and realizing.
Fake it to make it. We always say fake it to make it.
Yeah.
Well, I get a lot of parents in my membership, the Bonfire and the course, who will say, I've told my kids about this. We've talked about this a lot and they're still not doing it. And I say, have you shown them by modeling? Have you practiced with them? And then have you let them not succeed and then encourage them to try again tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Because life is not like an instant overnight fix. Like sometimes it takes 3 years to develop a life skill.
Right.
But that is so beautiful about the positive parenting, is that we don't give up on our kids and we just build up slowly and we work with them to do it with them, right? Like we always say, we come alongside the kids instead of speaking down at them.
Right.
Do this. Be more confident. It's like, they need support. They need you to practice with them. So,
and here's tip number one. In our class, we always give them the Chihuahua confidence test. So what we tell them is, we want you to stand with your hands at your side, shoulders back, and you're going to meet us for the first time. You don't, kids don't know if strangers are good right. or bad. They're don't knows, but I want you to tell me your name, look me in the eye, smile, because your power, your confidence comes from eye contact and smiling. Then wow. step back. If I'm a creepy person, whether you know me or you don't know me, I'm probably going to move forward and disrespect your boundary, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know how parents will say, Johnny, look your coach in the eye. Look your teacher in the eye. You know how we're always right, correcting yeah. our children and we correct them in front yeah. of the teacher? I like your philosophy where afterwards you could say, hey, you know, when you met Mr. So-and-so or Coach So-and-so, how did you feel? Did you feel confident when you met him? Did you feel like, you know, you're going to be that first string player or did you feel a little shy? How did you feel when you met him? And they'll tell you,
yeah,
I was shy. I was embarrassed, you know, or they might say, no. And I looked him in the eye. I felt like a superhero.
Right. That yeah. is so interesting. I yeah. just did this yesterday. Yeah. Did because, you? Not in the right way. I told, Taryn was saying goodbye to his little buddy. He had been at his buddy's Nolan's house and they were, you know, playing and the nanny was there. And I always say, look Yennefer in the eyes and say thank you. And then look Nolan in the eyes and say thank you. Because he is our one that is a little bit more shy. Uh-huh. And but it's just funny because I'm right. thinking about it now. And I probably could have said to him when he came home, hey, next time I want you to try to look her in the eyes and say thank you, and I want you to practice it with me right now. And yeah. it would have been less of a correction and more of an empowerment teaching.
Yeah.
So I love that.
Yeah, just and find nice whatever away. Their role models are. We had a four-year-old in our parent and me class for pre-K and, TK and K, and I said to him, hi, what's your name? And he looked me straight in the eye, 4 years old, yeah. and he goes, I am Batman. And I go, that's so cute. I go, you're so awesome. Cute. Oh, I go, okay, so what's your name?
Yeah.
I am Batman. Yes. But he being Batman, channeling his inner Batman, he cool. looked me in the eye. So I just called him Batman the awesome. Rest of the class. Wendy, I don't even know what his name was.
Right? Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Oh, if that's what I he needs.
But that was his role model. Yeah.
Yes. I love that. Yeah. Very cool. Well, hey there, families. This episode is brought to you by the FreshStartFamilyOnline.com free online masterclass, What to Do When Your Kids Say No. 5 positive parenting tips to help gain cooperation and dissolve power struggles with integrity. Families, this is one of my favorite topics to teach on. We're going to cover how to gently guide your kids towards action, even when they don't want to move or do what's asked of them. Ways to see kids who push back a lot as incredible blessings and future leaders. I promise they really are. The importance of paradigm shifting with thoughts and beliefs about power-seeking misbehavior, and how to implement a pause button or a heart connector to ignite creativity and model self-control. You can head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/power-struggles-class. That's freshstartfamilyonline.com/power-struggles-class to save your spot. I will see you at class. All right, number 2. We're kind of already touching on it, but how role-playing is critical. We must write the scripts for our kids' brains by using role-play. So yep. talk to us more about that.
Yeah. So this is something I learned from Dr. Phil. Typically, if children don't really know what to respond. So if I say to you, you're not my friend anymore, and you haven't thought about it, you're like, natural response. Well, I don't want to be your friend anyhow, right? Yeah. So if we can write the scripts, your children come home and say, so-and-so said this to me, and then you role play the proper response,
beautiful.
They'll have somewhere to go. Well, what Dr. Phil said that is that in an attack, whether it's verbal or physical, the first 3 seconds are the most critical. So they call it the first 3 seconds of denial. So if I grabbed you, you're going to think, do I know this lady?
Right.
Is this on candid camera? Oh, wait a minute. That's old.
Yeah.
Is this on YouTube? Yeah. Right. Okay. So the same thing with a verbal. If I say to you, you know, lady, you're crazy. You know, what the heck were you thinking? And you're like, what's going on here? You're trying to process it. It's going to make my power level shift. Mm. So by writing those scripts with our children and ourselves, we are going to be able to basically have a place to go in our mind in less than 3 seconds. So nice. We can disarm them. Mm. Because the beautiful. More time that happens, the more power that they get. So that's why I'm such a huge advocate of role play, and so is Dr. Phil.
And so are we.
Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Let's chat for a hot sec, openly and honestly, about what your discipline toolkit looks like in your home right now. If you're anything like most parents, you're relying on the hand-me-down set you inherited. Timeouts, spankings, threatening of spankings, taking iPads away, 3-2-1 countdowns, groundings, taking away toys, e-bikes, iPhones, any or all of those kind of tactics that create a total relationship strain and don't even work long-term to end your child's misbehavior for good. Meaning, you might spank your child or send them to timeout today for being, air quotes, mean to their sister or disrespecting you, but then 3 days from now, they're repeating the same misbehavior, which causes you to flip your lid because you know they know better. I want to help you learn a new way so you can end the vicious cycle that's keeping you stuck as a parent and causing you to feel super frustrated that nothing is working to get your strong-willed, stubborn child to behave better. My team and I have recently completely refreshed our Compassionate Discipline Quick Start Learning Bundle to help you learn a new way to teach your kids important life lessons, a new way to help your children learn from their mistakes and take responsibility for their actions. You can just DM me the word shift over on Instagram. I'm at Fresh Start Wendy, and I'll personally send you a message with a link to download this free bundle. I'm going to help you shift out of a punishment mindset and into a compassionate discipline one where you fully trust that connection-based, firm and kind discipline tools are all you need to be a strong leader in your home who holds your kids responsible when they misbehave, but does it in a way where they are learning the vital life skills they are missing when they mess up. So again, just DM me the word shift over on Instagram. I'm at Fresh Start Wendy, or you can head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline. To grab your free bundle now. I am so excited for you to shift out of feeling guilty and shameful when you lay your head on your pillow at night and shift into feeling confident and proud of the way you handled yourself as a parent, even when you were wildly triggered and upset about the mistake your child made. Okay, I'm excited for you to dive into this free resource. I'll see you in my DMs and inside the free discipline bundle.
It's interesting too, because like even like on like a less confrontational version, like not an attack or anything, but it seems like childhood is like you're always set up for needing a comeback. I feel yes. like I, as a kid,
what
like,
culture yeah teaches you? Yeah.
I always needed like some always. Sort of a comeback, and not necessarily in a like snide. But you need to be ready to answer.
Uh-huh. You want to feel confident.
Right. I know I am, but what are you, Terry? Right.
Right. Right. So there's all the like immature, like and sassy meets sassy and attitude mm-hmm. meets attitude. But you know, now as an adult, you can realize you're just like, no, what are those comebacks that really are true to who your character is mm-hmm. so that you can always have the comeback that's true to who you are. And not like just matching whatever energy they're giving you too.
Exactly.
Yeah, because a comeback can be walking away. It can be putting your shoulders back and being like walking away. Like that yeah. can't. It doesn't have to be like words. It doesn't have to be a smackdown, right? Like,
no.
But to have the plan, to role play it,
yes.
right?
And like
right.
to give some real life examples. You know, we've had it's cool. Like we always have so much fertile ground for learning and applying this work in our own families. But our little guy, just like a few months ago, he got his confidence shaken at the skate park. Like some kid, like he had been out for a few months because it was summer and it was hot. And then when he went back, like, of course, you haven't been on your board for a while. So you're a little rocky. So
sure.
your confidence is already a little bit lower. And then some kid like called him fat and told him he sucked. And after that was the first time he's ever called me to have him pick him up. And it just like crushed us because, you know, yeah. parents, you know, you hate to see your kids sad. And then it rocked his confidence, and he like we just finally got him back on a board like last night. He had fun in the front yard. He had some friends over, like, but it was interesting how we haven't done that. We haven't practiced like what is your comeback? Like, how can you take care of yourself when someone says something hurtful
right.
without just having it rock your world.
Right.
Because you're still going to feel the hurt.
Right.
But let's role play it out. Like, what is it going to look like? So it gives me ideas right now of how we can work with him, because that's his little thing right now. It happens to him a lot. And he gets his confidence shaken. Whereas the other one, his sister is like, she seems like she's an ox. Like, you know, she still struggles with it. She's in a tween age group now where they do say a lot of stuff.
Sure.
Like, she even had a play date last night where she came home and she said, "Mom, I love my friend, but she talks negatively about people. She gossips a lot."
Yeah.
And you could tell what she was saying to us was, "I don't know how to respond to that, because it's like it's that tween age group where you're like, you want to fit in and not be like the outcast that's like, I don't talk negatively about people." But in her heart was guiding her to say, "No, thanks. Let's talk about something else."
Yeah.
But I'm just thinking about my own life, how we could apply what you're saying with the role playing. Right, like tonight, we should have a family meeting tonight, maybe with some ice cream, and say, "Hey guys, we just need to practice, like how to respond to these situations,"
right.
And then they'll be in better shape.
And that's
on Monday.
It. It's practicing, you know, because we actually go over that. We have like a middle school class on how to handle gossip.
Yeah.
But until you sit there and talk to your child about how to respond to that, you know what? They just want, like you said in the podcast I heard about your tool belt. Mm-hmm. We call it our toolbox.
Okay.
Yeah.
We just need a couple of responses that are really easy to remember. So for instance, so Terry, tell me I'm ugly.
You are so ugly.
And I go, "Oh,
your chin's ugly."
That's good to know.
Right.
Good
I
to
love,
know, right? Yeah. So when that boy at the park said to your son,
awesome,
"You're fat," it would have been great for him just to go, "Hey, good to know, bud." And
right.
Then acted like it's not a big deal, even though inside he's like, "Oh." And then another thing too, this is my favorite, the power of yet. So he said, "Dude, man, you suck on that skateboard." "Yeah, I'm not good at it yet, but I am working on it. That's why I'm here, right?"
Tracy, this
see?
Is so...
Yeah.
Do you remember when we were in the course
and
I was like on the sidelines, just like, yes.
Yeah.
Because
that's
it's
great.
So kind.
Yeah, it's kind. It's short because it's just good to know. Hey, that's why I'm here, with a smile. Hey, right, dude? And you're kind of nice about it. What's the guy going to go? "Oh, I don't like it when you're nice." And then walk away. Right. He might say something. He might go, "Well, you're a jerk," and walk away. Ignore it.
Well, you have a personal story of this. So we can just one more example of this.
Yeah.
I remember you told someone said something to you at the store. What was it? It was like...
Home Depot.
It was Home Depot. Tell that story real quick, because
I think
parents need to know... Like, I think it's easier for parents to teach their kids this when they feel it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So which one would disarm you is the question before Tracy tells a story real quick. Because, again, we're trying to teach our kids how to feel confident in a situation where someone says something unkind or is attacking. And we want our kids to be confident and be kind. Like, in the work of positive parenting with Fresh Start Family, we want a parent with firmness and kindness. And people get so confused about this.
Yeah.
You can be firm and bold and assertive and confident and always be kind, right? Just like Jesus. Like
exactly.
Jesus was.
He turned the cheek.
Yes,
he turned
the cheek.
Yeah.
So tell us the Home Depot story.
Well, first of all, I got to back that up, because I want to be completely transparent, and I hope my children are listening to this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Or will be, yeah. So what, I was at Target one day with my son, Christian, who's now 22, and he was probably maybe eight or nine, and this lady yelled at me for pushing my shopping cart down the wrong side of the aisle.
Mm.
Now, I should have used one
of
my power protectors. I should have de-escalated. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but I was having a bad day, and I turned around and I said something like, "You're ridiculous."
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? There's no right or wrong side of the aisle.
Yeah.
And then I go like under my breath, "What a witch."
Right.
Something like that,
right?
All in front of my son.
Beautiful example, yeah.
God so convicted me. And then what God did was he made me teach this class.
Right.
And make it up.
Yes.
And so since then, do you know that that's haunted me? Haunted me.
Yeah.
So when the Home Depot thing happened last fall, it was right before the election. The primaries, or no, not the primaries, but remember we had to vote for something.
Yeah.
And I was signing a petition for the gas tax repeal. Dun, dun, dun.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm bending over, and this guy walks out, and this man walks by, and he goes, "You're an idiot for signing that." He goes, "It's people like you who are never going to get our roads fixed," right?
Yep.
Well, there's that part of me that, you know, Yes. The devil sitting on my shoulder is like, tell him to mind his own business. Tell him, you know, you're an old fart.
Right.
That's awesome.
And no, I took a deep breath and that's it. Took the deep breath.
Pause button,
I paused. I hit the pause button. Okay. And then I just said to him, hey, that's good to know, sir. You have a blessed day. Yeah. And then I just finished the petition and I could see that enraged him. He looked at me and he wanted to say something, but he knew, how am I going to fight with someone who's nice? And he stomped away and the guy at the table said, wow, that's awesome. Where'd you learn that?
It takes two, right?
It literally makes me like want to cry about this story so much.
It takes two people to fight. And if once you like just diffuse it, it's like you got nothing left. You're on your own, buddy.
Yeah.
Like carry on with your, whatever you're carrying.
And I honestly pray that you do have a better day.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just want to be a light. And I hope right in this moment, I've been a light for you. Because obviously you're having a hard day.
Yeah. And he was, because his wife was so embarrassed by his behavior. She punched him in the arm.
Yeah. Or at very minimum, you're having a hard time getting across. Like if you've done some sort of research on this bill, you're having a hard time getting across how you would actually impact somebody in a positive way to think or see it your way.
Exactly.
Right. You know? You're more influential now that you've used the kindness.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Such a good example.
Yeah, and I know we're going to get to it, but I will tell you, I'm going to talk about it. I think the last point, my favorite book, and I really believe he was just running on empty. He had to have been. You don't pick out strangers out of nowhere and just say something like that.
Yeah.
And I think that sounds like, you know, this is a great segue to point number three. Sassiness only escalates a confrontation. You know, whether he was being quote unquote sassy, it probably a lot of it was his tone and his delivery. And then you took away, you know, the confrontation by just completely not matching
the
tone, the attitude,
or
whatever.
Or so, if I had gotten sassy,
right?
If I said, you know, whatever.
You're just getting the ring. Yeah.
So give us some examples for kids. You already did the one where we got two so far. So that was thanks, that's so good to know, and the power of yes.
The power of yes is amazing, yeah. So, and then, by the way, the short answer is getting back to, we call it, in the winner acronym, which your listeners will get on our on our verbal karate strategy sheet, is walk away, ignore the comment. The first N is no sassiness. Say something short. So it's like this. Good to know.
Right.
Okay, sure. Noted.
Noted.
Indeed. And then now we have a new one. A little 9-year-old taught me this. Somebody called her a nerd and she goes, yay, me. And then he goes, no, a nerd is that's not good. She goes, yeah, it is. That means I'm smart. Yay, me. And then she walked away. How awesome is that?
That's awesome.
The next N is to say something nice, change the subject, and we'll get to that in a minute. But here's what I want your listeners to understand, and it'll be on their review sheet. Sassiness attracts sassiness. Here are the worst words you can use.
Yes.
So, I don't care. Who cares? And this is what parents teach their kids. Whatever. Mm. Okay. Terry, if you say whatever to Wendy, what happens?
Oh, there's just immediate disconnection. You're like, you're not gonna...
I want to respond with why it matters.
Well, yeah, it's like, like, how dare you, like,
worse.
Yeah.
So you have to replace those sassy words. And remember in the class we had the sassy Sasquatch? Don't be a sassy Sasquatch. So we replace whatever, so you tell me that I'm ugly, instead of me going, yeah, whatever, like, I even care what you think.
Right.
To, hey, good to know.
Yeah.
But if we're a friend, and that's probably another subject we should move into, we can't just say good to know and walk away. We have to resolve it.
Yes.
We have to have the conflict resolution piece.
So
and I can see how, you know, with whether it's a stranger or not a friend, like you're just trying not to perpetuate it too. You're like, I think for the whoever is being told the hurtful things, it's like, do you want to perpetuate it? Because if so, go ahead and match it with sassiness and just keep it going and hope it goes somewhere good. Normally won't.
Right.
But you're right. With a friend, it's like, okay, shut it down and then find a way out to where you guys can come out of it together.
Yeah. And then we as Fresh Start Family support parents how to take it deeper at home. So like when you feel hurt, so we do a lot of like emotional intelligence and emotional literacy work. So after a kid has a day, we mentor parents on how to have relationship-based parenting models in their home where they actually, their kids talk to them. Like last night when Stella came home, thank God because of this work, she said to us, like, can I talk to you about how I'm uncomfortable about what happened? Whereas, you know, I think the traditional model often will disconnect and your kids don't, the kids don't talk to parents, right? Like, so we want to have open communication. We want to have good relationships where our kids actually tell us things, but that's where I believe you do have to teach your kids, like when someone says you're fat or you're ugly, you have the verbal karate and then later work through it. Feel the hurt because it hurt just doesn't just go away. You got to feel it and then know how to take care of yourself to get through that. And that's life. Like all through life, hurt is one of the five basic emotions that there's going to be people in life that hurt you.
Right.
You don't have to match it, which is what we're doing today. And there's all these ways to de-escalate it. So it doesn't become this pattern, like this bully situation, but also then parents learn how to work with your kids and teach them how to take care of themselves when they do feel hurt or they do feel scared, right? Like, when someone says like, I'm going to kill you or I'm going to like have your comeback, but then know that you felt scared in that moment. You felt hurt in that moment. And that's what we do later in a calm time we teach families how to teach that, how to
work
with them.
And I think that dynamic's going to look different because there's a big difference between the kid on the playground who's really not your friend and he shoves you and says, you know, hey, loser. And then you're like, hey, good to know. Have a good day.
Right.
Versus the friend that's like, no, you can't be in our game because you're no good. And you're like, wait a minute, that's my friend. So that conversation with a parent when they come home and they talk about their hurt is going to look different depending on the mean behavior that they saw at school that day. And, you know, we haven't really defined bullying, but really bullying is... it's repetitive, it's constant, and it's targeted. So if I say to you, Wendy, oh my gosh, what are you eating? That's disgusting. Go outside and eat that. I'm not being a bully. I'm being rude and bossy.
Yes.
But if I keep picking at you, I'm totally exhibiting bullying behavior.
It's so important to note the differences because the term bully gets thrown out a lot these days. Right? And it's just kids learning social emotional skills. And some kids are a little abrasive and a little rude and they need good teachers to teach them a different way. Right? But I remember in kindergarten, Stella, she's always been our power girl. She's always loved to lead. Like now at age almost 12, you can see like, she's taken it and she's done beautiful things with it. Like she's a drummer and she basically, we've come to realize like drummers kind of lead a band.
They do.
Like if the drum get like the drums, but she will start that band off. She plays like incredible music. She's so confident. She'll step on a stage like, and just be like, hello, thousands. Like she could play for thousands of people. Awesome. We went to see Metallica in
Worshiping.
Ireland. Yes. Yes. Yep. And I remember asking her like, when we went to see this big concert, like if like you got invited up on stage, like do you think you could go up there and play? And she thought about it for a second. And she was like, yeah, I would. I would right in front of 75,000 people. But in kindergarten, she was still learning, like, what does it look like to learn how to feel powerful without being bossy, without stepping in front of people, without demanding that your kids play the game your way. But long story short, the teacher told me one day that a few parents had thought she was bullying. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Uh-huh.
So my way to deal with that is I came in and taught the kids the difference, you know, and I taught them a lot of the stuff that you teach.
Right.
But I'll never forget there was these two twins that were so cute. The sweetest little blondest kids. And I said, okay, guys, today, 5-year-olds, we're going to learn about, you know, what to do when someone says something really unkind to you. How can you respond with firmness and kindness, which is just like what we teach parents. And this little girl, she's like, I know. It's like when someone says your shoes are ugly, you look them right in the face and you say, well, your face is ugly.
I know. See, and it's true. People teach. I know.
She had the answer.
Wow.
I just showed my Bonfire membership community this yesterday, but right over there, I have the little thing that we created to teach this little girl that she doesn't have to respond like that. And so we went through a whole thing. We created a stop sign. We taught her an I am statement and how to do a pause button and then respond with integrity. But it was just so funny because it represents like, it's these kids, they're just trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And And some of them have gotten the wrong messaging, and then some of them are just learning how to feel powerful without, you know, being rude and disrespectful. But it's not bullying. That's right. A difference. Bullying is that targeted, you know, yeah. like you're picking on a kid and you're like taking his lunch money every day. It's like Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
There's definitely some bullies.
Well, yeah. And I think this is important too, because I think some kids are just in a different part of their journey also with like not having a filter or just realizing that they're being rude.
Right.
Like, yeah. I think there are kids that are a little chronically rude at certain points. Doesn't mean that they're like a bully. And I think sometimes it is just like we were talking about before we even started is like, instead of like walling that kid off, sometimes you need to build the bridge, get to know them to realize actually they've got a really great heart. They just don't have a filter and they just don't realize they're being rude yet.
And sometimes, most of the time, 99% of the time, it's because the parents don't have a filter.
Yeah.
So it's a learned behavior. You know, the dad that's yelling at someone that just cut him off or, you know, or oh my God, I can't even believe she looked at me that way or she said that, you know.
Or parents commenting on the news.
Yes. Oh, okay. Well, that's a whole different podcast. But yeah, I have to tell our students, guys, we know a lot of this is coming from television. Your parents are you know, housewives of Beverly Hills.
Right.
You know, you get these women off, you know, they're talking about each other. So they're making gossip entertainment. Politicians are making gossip entertainment. And then, let's face it, even on Disney and Nickelodeon, we see a lot of kids on the kids' shows use sassiness for their comeback.
Yeah.
So it's a learned behavior.
And, like, gossip-wise, like, parents screaming at the TV, like, that's so stupid. This president is so stupid.
Yeah.
Or these, like, are you serious? Like, this is, and I have to own up. I say it sometimes, and I'm like, ugh, don't do that. Don't do that, because it's just, it's not necessary. It's not teaching. Me commenting on the TV is not teaching anything, but I think kids learn, like, you know,
I would suggest for the parents, because I do this with, because I have, you know, older kids now, instead of saying, I can't believe he said that.
Right.
I can't believe he tweeted that.
Right.
I now say, you know, there are other ways of saying that sound kinder and would be more productive.
Beautiful.
And then I get my kids thinking, oh yeah, how could the delivery be different? Because like you said earlier, when the delivery's different, it might change my mind.
Oh, beautiful. I love that correction.
Yeah.
We got to do that.
That's great.
That's
great. So we defined bully, and I think that's usually where, like, you know, everybody's eyes and focus is on. But let's talk about the victim mentality and that whole role in it, because that can be equally challenging, you know, in a way to, you know, kind of break a mindset and kind of reset out of just being a victim. Because it seems like there's a pattern that some people get into, and especially kids and parents rescuing kids, that it's like, you know, they're just always going to be the victim no matter where they go. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Can I tell you a story? Okay, so this, and you have to remember, I've taught hundreds of thousands of kids. Just Girl Scouts alone, 120 we're at right now.
But
and so for me to remember this, it eats at me. And this mom came up to me after class and she said, my daughter, the girl was 8, she was a brownie. And she said, she's being bullied just, you know, unmercifully at school. And I said, well, tell me what's going on. Okay, now you got to remember, the mom is talking to me with the daughter right there. The daughter's not saying a word.
Yeah.
And the mom was like, these girls, you know, they'll make fun of her because she's really smart, and they're jealous of her because she's smart. And you know, the same thing happened to me when I was growing up. Everyone picked on me because I'm the smartest kid in the class, and then they don't want to play with her. So now, we had just gone through the class, so I asked the little girl, you know, based on what you learned today, how could you handle it when someone, you know, calls you a nerd? Or what are you going to say when they say, no, you can't sit at our lunch table, this table is for our club,
right?
You know, so now they're excluding her, and she's walking away looking sad and defeated. You know,
body
language is 93% of the way we communicate.
Wow.
So every time she tried to tell me what she could do now based on what she had learned, her mom would interrupt her and go, well, that doesn't work. She did that. She tried that. I told her that, you know, and it just never stops. And so I said, well, she said, you know, it's affecting her. She doesn't want to go to school anymore. And every day we go through this. This is all in front of the child. And I said, well, have you thought about maybe a fresh start? Maybe just trying another school. Oh, no, no, no. She has to be at the school because academically it's top up over the other school. Mm-hmm. So now she's putting the child's academics over the child's health, her social, mental health, social, emotional health. And that's what really, really bothered me. And then what really bothered me, Wendy, and this is what really gets to me, is I never heard from that parent again. And I gave her a really a good book to read it that I like. It's called Little Girls Can Be Mean, 4 Steps to Bullyproofing Girls in the Early Grades.
Awesome.
And I said, you know, bring her back to another class. Email me. I want to hear about the progress. Tell me what's going on. And I never heard from them. So I felt like the mom just wanted to vent in front of the daughter and made the daughter feel even more of a victim.
Oh, this is to me, like, out of all my teaching, and I run across this with parents too, and I have to constantly soften my heart and just like go to empathy because it's really hard for me. Like, it's like, don't do that. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. Like,
yeah.
But it's such a, it's like habitual, right? Like once you get into that mindset, it probably just becomes a pattern in your life as a parent to move into the rescue, the pity, the fixing.
Everything's bullying when it's
like,
not.
Catastrophizing.
Yeah.
It's really hard. But yeah, Terry and I, we did with one of our favorite mentors in the world. We have a an episode on escaping a victim mentality or leaning into self-reliance. I think it might, you know, 7, 8, something like that. But it's, there's so many ways that we can first acknowledge that we are sitting in a victim mindset and then commit to moving out of it. Because it's not healthy and it keeps you stuck. And it's not something we want to pass on to our kids. If if you're like, yeah, I have a tendency to go there sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. But I think, would you agree that parents will know that they're in it if they feel like they want to rescue, they feel pity, like, oh, my poor child, the poor thing, like hopeless, defeated, pity, rescue, and that they just want to fix.
Right. And then the child becomes dependent on that person, on the parent fixing it. And then they don't know what to do. It's like with a rape victim.
Yeah.
I see rape victims that have gone from being victims to victorious, truly.
Yes.
Our little Christian cliche that we use, but it's true.
Yeah.
And then I have other women that come in my class that are in their 50s and they were, you know, molested or raped as children and they're still stuck in that victim mentality. And their whole lives have just, because they're stuck in that mentality, they've had a fruitless type of a life.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until they actually got into therapy and then maybe took a self-defense class and started volunteering and teaching other women.
Nice.
That's when they get out of that victim mentality.
You got to break the cycle because otherwise you just keep putting into that. Of course this would happen to me. And when this happens to me, I feel this way and I do this. And then of course this would happen to me. And so they never get out of it. And sometimes, like Wendy was saying, it's the mom or dad who lived it and then now is seeing some sort of similarity in their kid and they're literally passing it on to them by talking in front of the teacher. And I always am interested too, because I've heard this similar thing, is sometimes they blame it on something that actually they're claiming that their kid has some superiority to. It's because they're so smart. It's because it's like, it's not their fault. The smartest kid. It's like, don't put that on the kid too, because then you're saying that their gift is actually their curse and like all this stuff.
Yeah,
it's like, just
it gets really muddy.
And then if you're creating some sort of identity complex, like let's just say next year they aren't the smartest kid in the class, then all of a sudden they're getting picked on and they're not good enough for you.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's really toxic to not just get outside.
And before I forget, because I will, I have to say this. Let me give you a quick example of something else. And when you dig deep, okay, so my child's getting picked on because she's the smartest in the class.
Right.
Okay. Then I find out she might be the smartest in the class, but she's also the most annoying one in the class because she's always raising her hand, always.
Yeah.
Put your hand down. Or, so Terry gets the answer, and she's the one that's in the back going, that's not how you say that.
Right.
That's not how you do that.
Hey families, I'm pausing this episode just to make sure you know where you can go if you want to join me for Kate Northrup's Relaxed Money Financial Healing Workshop happening April 23rd through 25th. It's completely free and it's a 3-day live stream event where she's going to teach you all about nervous system regulation and how to identify where in your life you might be operating from a lack mindset when it comes to your finances, and also just become more conscious of maybe some limiting beliefs that you have around money, and also really become intentional about what you want to hand down to your children when it comes to generational cycles around finances and money. So you can head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/relax. Or you can head over to Instagram, I'm at Fresh Start Wendy, and just shoot me a DM with the word relax, and I will help you get registered for Kate's free workshop. But I am a proud affiliate partner of Kate's programs because she just really has radically transformed my own life. And I'm just so excited for you also to learn with Kate all that she has to teach about nervous system regulation and healing and abundance when it comes to your own finances. All right, enjoy. And I will personally be at every single day of that workshop. So when you're there, make sure you say hello to me in the comments because I'll be there also learning with Kate. All right, freshstartfamilyonline.com/relax. Enjoy.
Parents, that's why your kid's getting picked on. It's not because she's the smartest person in the class. It's because she's using that superiority to correct people. And now she's become the most annoying kid in the class.
Yeah.
That's what the problem is. Yeah. So if I could have followed that little girl to school,
yeah,
I bet you $10. I would have been able to see a lot of behaviors that she was doing, including being sassy, that was causing the kids to pick on her. It wasn't because she was so smart.
Yeah. That's so beautiful. And parents, don't mistake this for if you've got a kiddo that's getting picked on right now, we're not like saying it's he's the cause of it. We're saying it takes two, and don't put your child into a victim state because this is picking on, bullying, whatever you want to call it, it's relationship based. And there's so many things you can do to empower your kid to get out of it instead of moving into like, my poor kid, this is the reason, right? And I have another story too. Like one of our little guy's little buddies, like his mom sat with me one night and was in tears at the campfire. We like camped together, this mom and son's group. And she said the same thing, like, you know, like he's in his tent crying because all the boys are picking on him. And this is a thing. It happens all at school. And, you know, he's the smartest in the class and he's above grade level and all the kids pick on him. And I go, oh, that's so interesting. Cause I've never like noticed that. And like Taryn's above grade level too, but it's not something I trip on that I think he's going to get picked on for. And then as exactly what you're saying happened unrolled as I watched and I seeked to understand and I asked questions. And that's exactly what came out when I asked questions was, why does he get picked on, Taryn? Or what? He said, because he will tell you that you're wrong or that he's. And so it became this whole thing. And so.
And he has a meltdown.
And then he moves into victim mode. He cries in the victim mode.
Yeah, Manny meltdown. And then he tattletales. Exactly. So we have to tell the kids in our class, you guys, if someone says, you know, you're being annoying and they don't want you to play in the game and you're like, well, fine, I didn't want to play anyhow.
Right.
And then they stomp off, Manny meltdown. They're never going to want to play with you.
No, yeah.
So if you're correcting people, you're tattling, all those things, those are the things that kids are, they don't think like adults. Those are the behaviors that makes them not want to play with you. It's not because you're the smartest person in the class, you know.
It perpetuates a
it's
cycle.
It's always two-sided. And in fact, I wanted, real quick, one of my favorite schools, we did a school assembly for, and they have like the best principal ever. You know, I'm going to shout out to Creekside Elementary.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Love Creekside Elementary. Awesome. Love their principal, Christine. So we do a kindness assembly, and then they were having some problems with the second graders after our assembly, not but about a month after that. Do you know, she called me to come back just to talk to the second graders to figure out what was going on. Why was this particular group of kids excluding? Like they kept, they were having a really problem with excluding. Well, come to find out, it wasn't just that these little girls were the mean little clicky girls. They were, but the girls that they were excluding also had a piece in that. Their dynamic was victim mode.
Right.
So they were making themselves less desirable to even want to be asked to be in that group.
Yes, yes.
And that the girls weren't handling it well, and that's why they were being excluded.
And then you move in and then you empower them, you change everyone's mindset. And like that's the last thing I want to leave off on point number four, and then we got to move on to the last one because we're going long here.
I know.
But is have instant, so like if you're like, oh shoot, I drop down into victim mode sometimes. I see that my kid does it. Maybe some of this is sounding familiar to you. Just remember, move into empowerment. Teach the kids. All you have to do, seek to understand, find out what's going on, and then choose a way to teach and build them up.
Right.
Instead of keeping them stuck. Like everyone, it's hard. It's hard, but everyone's got a part. And teach your kids how to have options instead of moving into the victim mindset. That's all I'm saying.
Write the script. Give them those verbal strategies, you know.
Yeah.
And then one thing we haven't touched on, I know we're running out of time, is if it is a friend, we have to teach them how to resolve that conflict. And that acronym, the TALK, will be in the notes. But TALK, take time to calm down. Talk to my friend alone. Let them know how I feel. And K, keep it kind, even if they're still not kind to me. And parents, if your child has a yo-yo friend, and it's not fixable that your child's talked to this friend and the friend's still mean to them, then we always say, sometimes the yo-yo gotta go.
Nice.
That's an unhealthy relationship.
Yeah, take a break.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, absolutely.
That's such a good point. So I get that question a lot, which is like, and sometimes I find I react a little bit because I believe that I think God uses difficult people in our lives a lot to mold and shape us, right? And so I love the idea, like when our little guy was having a situation where someone says something unkind to him a lot and there's like one little boy that's super abrasive, we had him over for a play date because I'm like, let's bring him in. Let's play with him. Let's
love
get
that.
To know him, right?
Love that.
So we really encourage, like, don't be the family that like, only put your kid in a school because it's protected and there's no one like that's different from them, or only lets your child play with people who are like exactly nice all the time. Like we encourage, like, yes, there's going to be tough people. There's going to be tough, teachers, like, but teach your children how to work with it. But here's the big, but I love this, that sometimes it comes to a point where you gotta go. Like it's okay to take a break from relationships, but first, try it out. Do the peaceful conflict negotiation, like you're saying. Have them over for a play date. Seek to understand. Teach your children how to build bridges, like Terry says.
Mm-hmm.
And then I love this. Like, also, it is okay to say, we're not going to play with them for a while.
Right.
We're going to take a break.
But because, we still have to be kind. So we can still be in a game together, but that boy doesn't have to be the one that's spending the night.
Right. Exactly.
And that boy doesn't need to know that he's been excluded either. Right.
Beautiful, yeah.
And by the way, real quickly, a great Christian book by Haley DeMarco. It's called Frenemies. It's great for tweeners and high school girls. And she actually has the girls take a test in the book. And it shows you if your friend is a frenemy or a yo-yo.
Oh.
And if the girl scores high, like let's say the friend is 80% of the time mean, 20% of the time not mean, then Haley talks how you can break up with that friend from a Christian perspective.
A respectful way.
Haley DeMarco, called Frenemies.
That's so cool because,
And then if the friend's like a 50-50 or 60-40, how to work it out.
Yeah. Well, I think the common denominator through all of this stuff is if you find yourself or your kid is in a challenge, let's build more relationship skills. That's the whole basis of both of, you know, your businesses, this podcast, everything. It's like, let's, instead of rescuing, running away, unless it's truly a harmful situation.
Punching back, acting like a victim.
Let's figure out what kind of relationship tools you can put in your tool belt so that you can build bridges, empathize with other people more and learn how to just navigate the world.
Right.
Because the world is going to have the people at the Home Depots that if every...
The boss.
Right. That you're probably, you know, and I know you were just in problem solving mode when you were talking to that parent of saying, have you considered going to another school? That's probably a last resort. I think
totally
you should try
resort.
To navigate like where you're at and empower your kid to have some more tools to deal with it because... This is the time to practice it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because if you just keep running away and then one day your kid's grown up, you put them out in the world, all those same people are out there waiting to prey on them or to, you know, see if they have that confidence? Do they have that relationship skill? And if you don't use the time now to practice it, when will you?
But see, here's the sad part, is that mom, I don't think, was capable of helping her navigate and problem solve.
She was stuck.
Because she was stuck in victim mode.
Yeah, she was stuck.
She was stuck, right?
Yep, every time I can sense when, so in my membership group, it's called The Bonfire, I do weekly coaching and we have a private group where we get real vulnerable with like challenges. When families have challenges, they post a question that is like, full messy life. Like my kid did this, this did that. And I often will see a challenge where it'll be like around some anxiety or fears or actually it's all the time, but a lot of times I'll just stop the parent and say, we're not going to even talk about what we're doing with the kiddo right now. We're going to start with you. How are you getting supported in this? How are you getting supported with your own anxiety and your own fears? Here's all these resources. Here's a meditation. Here's like all these things that you can do, but I want you to start with you. And then in a few months, we'll get back on how we're going to help him because the modeling and them getting through it first does so much.
Brilliant.
You know?
That's brilliant.
Okay, so let's wrap it up. Like 2 minutes. If you could summarize our last point that you... This is so beautiful, these 5 points you created for us today, Tracy. Kind words are powerful, powerful words. So how to be kind instead of telling our children, don't be mean.
Right.
And you have a favorite
And, you
book
know, I'll tell
share.
You where I got this from. Cindy Martin, who's the superintendent for San Diego Unified, she said, instead of teaching children don't bully, which is October's National Anti-Bully Awareness Month, let's change the message to no child left unkind.
Oh,
isn't that awesome?
That's awesome.
So January is the National Kindness Challenge, and I encourage schools, so parents, PTAs, to actually participate in the National Kindness Challenge. It's the last week of January, and you can sign up as a school online. My favorite books, this is how we promote kindness, is Have You Filled a Bucket Today?
Yes, I have it right there.
Love the book.
Yeah.
And that's what I recommend to this mom that called me on Sunday or Monday about her child who's having a problem in first grade because he is exhibiting some mean behaviors, right?
So that's a beautiful, can you tell us that story real quick? No names,
of course.
I think it'll wrap up everything really beautifully.
So
you taught her and she took your coaching, is running with it, and then you were saying you thank God brought us here together.
Absolutely.
Today to help
I believe she has a strong-willed child. You know, they're trying to diagnose him, but I believe, honestly, by observing him, I thought he was just kind of on the young side. But it's one of those things where kids want to be his friend, but then if things don't go his way, then he's strong-willed. Then if the game doesn't go his way, then he's mean.
Right.
And he acts out, even physically. So I think that the message needs to be, you know, more about not focusing on his bad behaviors, but being kind. So I suggested, and this is where I think, first of all, she needs positive parenting coaching.
Yeah.
Okay. I think her family's going to flourish once I turn her onto your course. But also, too, I said to her, bring the book, Have You Filled Someone's Bucket Today, to class and put him in charge of the bucket so it's like his idea. Because you said
empowering.
A strong-willed child really just wants a leadership role.
Yeah.
So all the kids, they get to decorate their little buckets. And this is the premise of the book. If I say something kind to you, I filled your bucket. So if I say, I love you, look so cute in that hat. And you do it, by the way. So then the teacher goes, wow, that was really nice, Tracy. Go put, you could get little pom-poms, you know, go put that in Wendy's bucket because you just filled it. Now, dipping is if you said something mean to me, you're dipping in my bucket. And if my bucket is empty because everyone's dipping in it and saying mean things to me, with an empty bucket, I possibly will turn into that mean child.
Yeah.
So here's what the book says. We need to teach children to put a lid on their bucket so they can't dip. The reason the man at Home Depot couldn't dip into my bucket was because I already had the script written in my mind. Yes. I was ready to go. I had a positive response ready to go, in my mind. So now, once those buckets are filled, so your bucket's full, everyone's been saying nice things about your hat. Now you're going to be feeling so good about yourself, you're going to start filling other people's buckets. Yeah. So you turn it into a visual project with these kids. And then at the end of the week, we have a party to celebrate our full buckets.
That's awesome. Uh-huh.
Now, I don't think you do anything with the dipping, and you'd have to look into that.
Yeah, that's like,
I don't,
really cool.
Like, if you said something mean to me, I don't think it's you go and take speak. Something out of my bucket.
But I love, though, that you would put this child right into the situation of leading that activity.
Leading the activity.
Because here, A, he gets to be a leader. That's what we wanted to do anyways. Mm-hmm. And the whole, activity is around kindness.
Yes.
Yeah. And we did. Put him right in the, yeah. We're stepping away from labeling him as a bully. We're helping the kids to seek to understand him. We're helping the teacher seek to understanding. We're helping his mom seek to understand him. We're helping to empower him. We're helping just change the script, change the narrative.
Yes.
Fresh start.
Fresh start.
Yes.
I
and
love
also
that.
Helping these other kids to not get into a victim mode. So I thought that was a cool story of just an example of, little 6-year-olds, they'll get into trouble sometimes. They'll get into some bad patterns. And there's just so much you can do around what we've talked about today to help switch them out. So,
yeah.
And parents, no matter how old your kids are, imagine working through this life skill and this stuff now, what that means in high school and then what that means when they're out in the world. I think we all just want, kids that can become adults that are peacemakers instead of, just having troubled relationships on either side.
Right.
Whether they're being labeled the bully or the victim or somewhere in between, it's let's give them tools to navigate this wild world.
Exactly.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, so awesome. Good. So Tracy, you've been so kind. You've created a takeaway worksheet, right?
Yes.
So verbal karate cheat sheet that you have offered to give our listeners. Thank you.
Yep.
So
my pleasure.
Over on the show notes page, you guys know the drill. You can go over there. You can download Tracy's free verbal karate cheat sheet, and then tell us more about where we can where listeners, and I know are so excited about you, where they can find you. And also, you mentioned that you're looking worldwide
for licensees.
So tell us all about that.
So playitsafedefense.com.
Okay.
And we're looking to have people teach our course in other cities. So right now we're in Phoenix, Philadelphia, Las Vegas, and it'll come to me. New Jersey.
Awesome.
New Jersey, yeah. But we really would like to see this course taught in other cities. And you don't have to be a martial artist.
You don't have to be a black belt?
No. You just have to be really good with kids and sport that chihuahua puppet.
Yes! And the class is the verbal karate class, or is it a class that does all three?
All three. 2-hour class. Yeah.
And what about Facebook? What are you on Facebook?
Yeah, so Play It Safe Defense on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Okay. And we'll have all that in the show notes for you guys. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for what you do.
Yeah.
I know. Positive parenting, that's the solution.
Yeah. Well, together, I think we're a great team, and you're such a light. Thank you.
Thanks.
For more information, go to freshstartfamilyonline.com. Thanks for listening, families. Have a great day.
All right, listeners, that's a wrap. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I enjoyed recording it for you. As we wrap up here, don't forget to DM me the word shift or head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline to grab your free Discipline Quick Start Learning Bundle. You'll get immediate access to download our extensive learning guide where I'll share 5 ways you can ditch the old school hand-me-down punishment mindset beliefs and thoughts that are causing you to react like a volcano instead of respond like the firm, kind, respectful teacher you are at your core. And then you'll also get immediate access to my on-demand workshop where I'll teach you our 3 core Fresh Start Family strategies that make up a strong, compassionate, disciplined toolkit, as well as my favorite logical consequences that not only work with kids of all ages, but do wonders to unite you with your child and strengthen your relationship, even in your kids' worst moments. So pop on over to Instagram right now and just shoot me a DM with the word shift, and I'll send you a personal link to download that bundle right away. Or you can head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline to get access immediately. All right. Thanks for listening. And I'll see you inside that free bundle and also inside the next episode.